So last week, we got into Pasuk Hey, Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey, with the party that it seems to be, they sent out invitations, Lemi Gadol V'Ad Katan, from the elderly, we weren't sure what it meant, until the youth. And we pointed out that many of the early commentators say that the direction of the age was backward to what happened by Loit. By Loit it says, Mi Katan Ad Gadol, or Mi Narvad Zakan, we pointed out, that was last week. And here we're going from Mi Gadol Ad Katan. So now we're returning back to Esther for a few minutes. And it says like this, Mi Gadol Ad Katan, they invited everyone to the party. So what does the word Gadol mean, and what does the word Katan mean? Last week we had a few different interpretations. So the easiest interpretation, when you start a conversation, you ask, what does a Gadol and a Katan mean? Normally the conversation ends with a Gadol means someone above 13. We said it by a Goy, maybe it's above the age of Das, above the brain cells start working, and a Katan means a child. Okay, so if you're going to learn that, what's the most simple interpretation 99% of the time, that Mi Gadol means an adult and Mi Katan means a child, you now have a question. Ahasuerus is making a massive party. He made already one massive party, 180 days. And we said last week, the 7 days is either included the 180 or after the 180. But now he has another party, and this party is for the people of Shushan. The other one was for everybody. And now the people of Shushan, and he invites me, Gadol v'ad Katan. And if you're going to learn it means, Gadol means an adult, and Katan means a child, then your assumption is going to be that at Katanim were invited to this party. So it is a debate among the Kadmoinim, 1600s, were Katanim at this type of party, and what would be the advantage or disadvantage to having Katanim at a party? So, the first one is Rav Shmuel Azida. He wrote a classic on Esther, and he says that since Achashverosh's entire goal was to mess up the Yidden, to make a kitrig against the Yidden, we spoke about it last year, he held that the Yidden understood now that they're never getting out of Golas, because maybe the 70-year Cheshbon ended. Spoke about that in multiple classes. That means what? They had a nevuah that there was going to be a 70-year galus, and according to the Cheshbonis, 70 years ended. They said 70 years ended, the Jews are never going to rise again. Jews are never going to rise again. Let's make a major party. Make a major party. Turn to the Jews and say, listen, what do you got to do mitzvahs and averes for? It's all irrelevant. Join the party. So when you want to do that, now becomes a debate. Is it better to have the kids around, or is it worse to have the kids around? So Shmuel is either's first assumption, which ties into a theme we're going to have, which Judd pointed out last week, is going to happen multiple times in the story of Esther, is that how were the Jews saved in the end? One of the ways they were saved in the end was, we have something called the Hevel Shel Tinoikei Shebas Rabim, Tashbar, right? The word Tashbar, which is a children's school, the word Tashbar is not a word. The word Tashbar is an acronym, Tinoikei Shel Beis Rabim, which means the young children. Because the young children, they, with the lashon of the praise of the Gemara and stuff, is the Hevel Shel Piyim. The breath that comes out of their mouth is pure. They didn't do most sins yet. And even if they did do sins, we discussed also last week, someone under 13 doesn't get punished. So there's a beauty to the children that have an ability to save Klal Yisrael, which might have happened later on in the story of Esther. So what happens when Ahasuerus is setting up the system here? He's beginning a party. He wants a party for the destruction of Jewry, the destruction of Jewry. Do you know what he wants to do also? He wants to bring the little children into the party. And he wants to tell the little children, you know what? Fresh a bissel chaza, eat a little chaza, eat basa b'chalov. Little kids are not going to do certain averis, but certain averis they will do. So he wants to ruin them in a party of what we're discussing, food, to ruin the Hevel Shel Piyim. Because even though Hevel Shel Piyim is not literal about food only, the mouths of these people are pure. When a mouth is pure, what happens is it has the ability to daven. A pure mouth can daven and be much more successful. A mouth that ate treif, talks Lashon Hara, whatever things you can come up with, that mouth, that same mouth that's used now for Toiv, not as pure as it could be. On the other hand, the Hevel Piyim Shel Tinoikei Shel Beis Rabim, the little children, they have the ability. So Ahasuerus was 99% sure, maybe even, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with another insurance policy. That means I believe that the 70, this is Ahasuerus talking. Ahasuerus saying, I believe the 70 years are up. In reality, the Jews, they're never rising again. There's no more. But you know what? What do I lose? Just in case they have a backup plan, they can have little kids come and daven and learn and do all these type of things. I'm going to avoid that issue. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ruin them. How am I going to ruin them? I'm going to invite them to a party and have them eat food that's not kosher. So hopefully, if they eat the food that's not kosher, Achsher is talking, if they eat the food that's not kosher, it ruins their power that little kids might have. And therefore, I will guarantee to stay, the Jews will stay in exile. And therefore, according to Shmuel Azida, that yes, when it says me gadol ve'ad katan, he learns it very simple. Gadol means adult. We're not doing the order yet. Gadol means adult. Katan means ketanim, because the ketanim were invited to the party, because on purpose, in order to make problems. That now, Rav Shmuel Lazida to know, in general, is a anthology. Again, he's 16, 1500s. So he's quoting all the people in his time. But a lot of the times, he'll quote multiple sources. It's like an early Me'am Loyez, if you could even say such a thing. So he'll have Yesha. I remember he quotes names usually. He says this, he says this. And as you're reading it, it's over the course. It's a little, you know, you have to go through a lot there. It's a lot of, because it's time. He quotes another approach. So the first approach is, Migdal Ma'atanim meant the Ketanim were included. The second approach is, which we spoke about last week also, that Ketanim does not necessarily mean young children. Ketanim can mean next to Gedalim, but really above the age of 13, like we said, might have been last week, when it said that it would hit with blindness. There was one approach that you said, that everyone who was hit with blindness had to be over 13, because we don't punish kids under 13. So when it says, me cotton van Gadol was punished of blindness, a cotton meant over 13. It meant he wasn't old, but he was still old, as far as being an adult, because Ketanim were not allowed. So he quotes as well, Rav Shmuel Lazida. He says, I want to tell you another approach. Another approach is that the Ketanim were not invited. A lot of the times he has both approaches he covers. You have to know what you think. Ketanim were not invited. Why were Ketanim not invited? Because when the adults want the party, they don't want the Ketanim around. They don't want it. It ruins the party. You have people who, and I remember I was at a place once that had a Super Bowl party. Once a year, all the parents. So the parents were telling me that they make a major party for the high school kids. They rent out a place. They bring in food and all that. And they go somewhere else. Why? I'm not watching the game with my kids because I don't want to see the commercials that my kids are seeing. We can't be together. It ruins some of the atmosphere. So according to this approach, Migdalim v'Aktanim meant that the Gedolim were Aktanim, but it didn't mean literally young kids. So you have to know again how it works out. Were the Ketanim there or not? Were the Ketanim not there? This is all going to the approach that the word Migadol, Limi, with Lamed, Limi Gadol v'Aktanim is going based on age. So based on age, we either include the Ketanim, we don't include the Ketanim, that's all based on age. But last week, we gave another approach to the words Gadol and Katan. So we said it more toward the end. Gadol and Katan is not only limited to age, could be, but sometimes Gadol and Katan meant a status. Who's stature? Who's considered Chashev? Who's not considered Chashev? So that also has to play a role there. Potentially, we're not discussing the age of the people invited, we're discussing the stature of the kids invited. So according to this approach, what does it mean? We're inviting me Gadol and Katan in stature. Now, why would we say me gadol and cotton as a cotton to gadol? So Kadmonim bring down like this. There are two ways to invite people to a party based on two points of the party. What is the point of a party and who gets invited? So when a king makes a lavish banquet, this is what they quote, when a king makes a lavish banquet, if they're doing the banquet to show off, the first people they invite are the high stature people. I invite the president, I invite the vice president, I invite those people come first. I'm trying to show off. Derech Agav, okay, I'll get the little guys in also. But, you know, I'm not looking to show off to a nobody. But okay, if I have to also, that's not my goal. If the goal of a party is to show off, the first invitations go to the guys who are status quo. They're status high status. On the other hand, if you're looking to do a party because you have a karas atayv or something like that, and you want to do a chesedik party, sometimes they have a banquet. All come, one all masbia. Everyone can come. There, the invitations go to the more Nitzrach, the needy come first. You don't have to invite the president if you're making a party because he doesn't need your extra piece of falafel, right? But you have to invite the needy people. So they want to point out that yes, this was a question Gadol v'Katan was going on status. Why does it say, now we're asking that question we spoke last week, why does the order adults to children, because it doesn't mean adults, it means high stature to low stature, goofa, because that's what he wants. What he wanted to do, Achashverosh, was the point of the party, was showing off. As we learned last year as well. The main ideas of these parties was to show, look who was around, look what I accomplished, look what I did, look at my throne we spent a couple weeks on last year. And the thing is showing off. So the Migadol HaKatan was a proof when they're writing over the Navi. Migadol HaKatan, they're writing, by the way, understand that it was all a show-off type of party. Now, you have to realize also what we said last time, by multiple times last year. When Mordechai is writing, we spoke that we had a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara had a machlokes. Was Achashverosh a genius or a tippish? It's extreme. A lot of these things are extreme. But we said one thing's pashut. When they're writing the story of Megillas Esther over, they're not openly going to embarrass Achashverosh. Why? Because he was still alive. He was still the king. You can't embarrass the king, especially he's married to Esther at that point. Probably we'll get to that later on. you can't just embarrass them. So they had to write it in a way, a subtle way, that people understand what's going on without really openly saying things. You can't just go after the guy. So when they would write, according to this interpretation, they would write Godol Lekotam, they were hinting, understand what the point of the party was. The point of the party was Achashverosh is trying to show off. So one approach was age. Now we're doing in the approach of status. But even within status, that was discussing what comes first. Old, young, young, old. There's another way to do it as well. If you're having, like we said before, the Medrash says a funny thing. Every time the Medrash says something, usually it's a diyuk and a pasuk. It says that. It doesn't ask the question. We have to figure it out. The Medrash says, which is basically from the pasukim as well, that when Achashverosh made this party, he created a situation where every person had his exclusive taivas taken care of. So for example, the Gemara is going to say, everyone had wine older than themselves. We'll have to get to that hopefully one day. If you're 65, your wine's 66. If you're 25, your wine's 26. We'll figure out what all that stuff means. And it said everyone was doing glasses, ishkiritzoin, that what everyone, so it's very simple. If you want to do food, so you go over to everyone. What do you like? Do you like pizza? Do you like steak? We'll separate. We're going to make sure everyone's happy. Everyone has their own thing. Not everyone likes the same thing. It's not even possible. So we would have separate stations set up for every person to do it. Now, when it comes to that as well, or when it comes to the tivus, who are you going to approach first to ask? I mean, let's say it's in the area of Znus. So you have, if someone's got to pick somebody. There are people parading around. Who are you going to pick? They go to the status guy first. The other guy gets leftovers, right? In Lahavdil and Badagoyim, when they have these in the places, the groupies and stuff like that. The first guy is the star. Everyone else is after that. So here too, they want to say that Migodol Vav Kotan is a hint to tell you that it was a status type of concept. It was Migodol means the guy's in the higher status. And why does he get first? Not only because the invitation went to him first, because the invitation was to show off, but even after that, in the party itself, when we were going around, when the waiters are going around to the Gedolim, status Gedolim, going to the status Gedolim first to ask them, what is your tivus? What do you want to do? And listen, hopefully we'll be able to fill everyone's tivus. But let's say the guy says, I want a steak. Okay, so let's say we have limited steaks, but they're given the Gedolim first, Gedolim and status first, enough steak, then they can tell them, too bad. So the reason why it was written, Migodlavat Kotan, was a status symbol when it came not to the invitation before the party, but it's going on the event during the party, how we're going to treat the people. So again, talking about his age, talking about his status. But then there's a wild one. We'll have to tie that into this week's parsha. Also quoted by Kadmonim. Where else, sometimes again, when you're writing things, you do a Bermuda. What's the best way, if you want, to get the... What was the goal we spoke about last year? Achashverosh was telling the Goyim, the gig is up. Stop davening for Bani Yerushalayim. Stop thinking about Messianic revelation. As long as you do that, there's going to be a separation between the Jews and the non-Jews. Right? Because you're going to assume the whole time that we're going to go back to where we were. So you're keeping ourselves separate. So the best thing we're going to do is mix the Goyim and the Yidden together, which of course is the eternal exile for the Jews if they don't actually separate. So what he wanted to do, Achashverosh, was he wanted to show them like this. In today's world, show the Goyim that the Jews don't have horns. I'm going to let them in. And show the Jews that the Goyim aren't so bad as well. We said that we spoke about this last year also, that when the Goyim...
That was Napoleon.
Right? We said it last year about intermarriage. That in America, 50 years ago, there was no such thing as the average Goyim marrying a Yid. But it was good for the Yidden. Because the Yidden didn't marry the Goyim either. And when the Yidden remain marrying Yidden, that's a very good thing for Klai Yisrael. When the Yidden start intermarrying, and it all becomes one big bilbul, it becomes a big kitrick against us, and also becomes a thing that Kadosh Baruch is not necessarily going to do it. So Achashverosh's goal was to ruin the Yidden, la'olam vod. One of the ways to do it was to mix the Goyim and the Yidden, and show everyone we get along with each other. The raising up of the Jews in society is not always a good thing for the Jews. Short term, it's good. Long term, it's not good, because what happens is that every guy says, I want to marry a rich Jewish doctor. That's not good for the Jews, because too many rich Jewish doctors are willing to do it. If the Yidden would stay close-minded, we'd be okay. So here, what it means is Godel and Cotton. So we're going to go back and say, where else do we see a concept of Godel and Cotton? And once in a while, we try to show off and mix it in to the Parsha. So the fascinating pasuk in this week's Parsha. So now we're taking a side road. Godel and Cotton could be age. Gadol and Katan can be status, and there's something else Gadol and Katan can mean. You know what Gadol and Katan can mean? A representative. Again, we're not going to say it. They don't want to bash on Achashverosh and say you were a bum trying to ruin our lives. But they put it in Kavon Katan, and they want us, Mordechai Vesta, when they wrote a Nevuah, Ruach HaKadosh, to understand the underlying stories going on in. Who's Gadol HaKatan? Kayim Yidden. How? Here goes a parasha. This week's parasha. Parasha told us. So what happens is, Yitzchak is now blind. Now. We don't know when it started. That was last week, 2 weeks ago. Yitzchak is now blind. And it's time he calls in his son, and it starts out saying like this. Vayikra is Pasuk Aleph in Chavzayin. Not the one we're going to focus on. Vayikra is Esav B'noi HaGadol. And he says, listen, it's time to get the blessings. Okay. So he called him HaGadol, but it's not what Esav, it's not what Yitzchak is calling. It's that the Torah is writing these words. That's what comes out of point. Now look later on. Rivka finds out the game. Right? He says, bring me food before I pass away. The whole spiel. Vayoymer, and now she says, Yaakov el Rivka. I can't do such a thing. What am I going to do? I can't go in there and bluff it. He's gonna ulai yimusheni avi. He's gonna chop right away. So she says, "Listen, alai klas chabani. Don't worry about it. It's on my cheshbon." Okay, that's only a statement. What are you gonna do about it? What does she talk to do? She says, "Don't worry about it. I'm gonna go make the food." And she starts bringing food. Here goes pasuk tesvav. That was the ik and the kud of the plan. Fatikach Rivka, Rivka took, as big day Esav, the clothing of Esav, if this would make sense, that's Yolim's kid, adds two words now, Benar, her son, HaGadol, HaChamudois, the fancy stuff, Asher Ito was in the bias, Vatilbash HaChakav, Benar HaKotten. So why here does the Torah add on the word Gadol and the word Kotten in this pasuk? Now, I'm just segueing into this. In reality, I'm telling you now that the Kadmonim say, that when Achashverosh invited Limi Gadol the Ad Katan, one is age, one is status, and now the third interpretation is going to, and those have details, and the third interpretation is going to be Goyim and Yidden, to mix in the party. We're going to go back on that Goyim Yidden to show that there's such a thing called Gadol and Katan, which shows Goyim and Yidden by Esav and Yaakov, and we'll get to that in a second, and then we'll have maybe a fourth interpretation over here. We have to see if we can fit it in. So look, ready the Ramban asked the Kasha. The Ramban's the first one that I saw, found. The Ramban says, I understand, why would he add in the detail, Gadol and Katan, who cares? Why say, just say Esav and Yaakov, right? She took Esav's clothing. Esav, Gadol, who cares? Is it necessary for the whole conversation? So Ramban wants to say, a godless, that the Torah is stressing the godless of Rivka. That a normal woman, I don't know if he says person or woman, if not what he means, the normal person's natural instincts are that they love the first child more than the second child. That's the way it goes. Even if the child is born 7 seconds before the second one. That's the way it goes, the natural way of things. So even though Esav might have been born 7 seconds earlier, doesn't make a difference. And there is a Vilna Gaon who was born 30 days, whatever. He switched over the day, right? But the idea is, you're born earlier. But she realized, for the good of mankind, what she has to do. So the Ramban says, in a way, it's a pshat in the pasuk. The reason why the Torah stresses HaGadol, the reason why the Torah stresses HaKotan, to tell you, look what she's doing, which is against the natural instinct, to show the godless of Rivka. Rivka's godless was, she went against her natural thing in order to switch the things from the Gadol to Katan. Others say, that's Ramban. Others say,
So what she do? So she said on the Gadol, on Esav.
No, right. But to show her that she's giving the clothing from Esav to Yaakov, which would be against what she should want to do. She should want to help Esav more. Her natural thing should be want to be a help Esav. Because, oh, look, Esav the Gadol, which is her natural. No. She's giving it to Yaakov HaKotan. Second approach is that the reason why the Torah stresses it here is because she was given a nevuah in the beginning of this week's parasha. V'rav Yavid. Sorry. Now again, we have to know why we switched lashonis. The older one will serve the young one. This is when there were still babies. Not babies, fetuses. The Rav Yavid Tzara. So the reason why, that means she always knew on some level. This, the Ramban is going Pasha Kapshutai psychology. The others are going with a different guy. No, it's not based on psychology. It's based on why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? Maybe Esav deserves the bracha. Maybe Esav should get the bracha. Why? Because he should work with the bracha and become whoever he was. Like all the Svarim bring down, Esav, his head is buried in Meretz HaPelah. He's not 100% evil. Maybe the Cheshbon is Yitzchak saying, I'm going to give the bracha. So the Torah is adding other words, Gadol and Katan, to tell you that she had a Nevuah early on. The Nevuah early on was, V'rav Yavitzer. The older one will serve the younger one. So here, the Torah tells you, you know why she did this whole thing? Maybe she wasn't 100% sure what the master plan is. Maybe in Hashem's world, it could be Yitzchak's world, Esav should get it. If you go with the Gan, which many, many, many do, that Esav knew exactly, Yitzchak knew exactly that Esav wasn't that good. He knew it. He wasn't completely fooled. He wasn't at all fooled according to some. But he held that even so, we have to give Esav something. Whatever reasons he had. Rivka doesn't say Rivka's Navu was better than Yitzchak. Sorry, it says by Avram. So Rivka should have said, Batal Daiti Yitzivali. Maisa, I have my Cheshbonis. What I'm seeing is maybe Yaakov should get it. But on the other hand, I don't know, Yitzchak has a Cheshbon. Yitzchak's Cheshbon, whatever they are. Yitzchak has a brilliant Cheshbonis. Why'd she do it? As what David said. Because since she had a Navua that says, Virav Yabatsoyer, so the Torah is telling you, Godel Takot, to tell you that's why she did it. It's adding on the words to explain her actions. That's the second approach. The third approach, there's more than that, obviously, but the third approach of why the Torah stresses Godel and Cotton when it talks about Rivka taking the clothing to give it away is something we have by Mamash practice conversation. We're right now in the middle of a conversation, Rivka and Yaakov. Yaakov is saying, listen, let's slow down here. Let's slow down. I'm just not going to walk in. I'm going to get caught. And if I get caught, the negative repercussions are much worse than anything you're thinking right now. Yeah, like Kolosabini. Okay, I don't know how confident you are with that one. I like Kolosabini. Okay, says, let's get practice. Okay, I'll make the food for you. Okay, that's a good start. Okay, but I'm going to get caught. So she says, listen, I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to give you the clothing. But the Torah is stressing that the clothing naturally, it's not the same clothing. It shouldn't fit necessarily. So let's say you're going to go with the gang. I don't know how you picture in your head Esav being a hairy person. I have no idea. How hairy is hairy? I don't know what you're thinking. And Yaakov's not a hairy person. Okay. So let's assume now, I don't know if you pick, do hairy people have hair on the top of their palms here? So let's say he's putting on a jacket. Okay, now I'm wearing a jacket. Now what's going to happen? So I'm going to come shake my hand. Yitzchak's blind. And say, oh, let me shake your hand. And well, but I'm wearing a jacket. Yeah, what happened to your hand? Your hands don't seem so hairy. What about your neck? I don't know how hairy he was. Long hair. I don't know how it works here.
Did he put it over his hands as well?
Yeah. It says in the next pasuk. Yodov. So how did she do that? How? So she either stretched the clothing, she went to the cleaners, or the Torah is telling you. Esav HaGadol meant the clothing, or him, was a larger version than Yaakov HaKotten. So she was telling Yaakov, don't worry about it. You're going to put on Esav's jacket. It's going to go further than you think anyway. It's going to land out covering the pots. Like, don't worry, it's all covered. Literally, that's a play on words. It's all covered means, don't worry, I'm covering you on that. So the reason why the Torah, it's not a galus and rifka, it's not even discussing rifka, it's talking strategic. And that would mean, according to this interpretation, that the clothing, taka, hung over, whatever the word is. I don't know how Yitzchak didn't realize from the shaking of the hand, but it hung over. There are others that say it goes like the Nes. They use a similar approach. That Gadol and Cotton was talking about not Esav being the Gadol and Yaakov being the Cotton, but it's more focused on the clothing of Esav's clothing being larger than what would have been fitting nicely onto Yaakov. And they say, we have a famous Yisoid, that what happens, and it's a proof, that Shaul HaMelech, the Torah says, Navi says, was head and shoulders, that's where the phrase might come from, head and shoulders above everyone else in Klal Yisrael. He was a large person. And David HaMelech came to kill Goliath, and he said, okay, whoever does, puts on my clothing. Okay, how is David, this is not me, how is David going to wear Shaul's clothing? So it says that when he put on Shaul's clothing, simple interpretation, he miraculously grew into the clothing. Into the clothing. So when he grew into the clothing, it made Shaul a little nervous, because it shows, oh, you know, that's like, you can pull the scepter out of the thing, you can wear the clothing, it fits, the Cinderella shoe, it fits. There's a gang, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants something, it's going to fit. So here too, the clothing should have been bigger. Not that the first interpretation is that it's hanging over. Second interpretation is, no, it fit perfectly now. Either a trunk or Yaakov grew, whatever way you want to go with, as a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this to happen. So when she was saying, put on the clothing of the Gadol onto the Katan, was to show you that this is the right way to do things. You're going to grow into this clothing. It's going to be a proof that we're on the right track to do things. So the Gadol of a Katan is now going on height, size. Now, odds are you can't do height and size back to the story of Esther. It's unlikely that when they're inviting people to a party to Esther, we said it can go on age, it can go on status. Height and size is a little difficult to go. But we do have the concept that when they're wearing the clothing, there is a gun of the clothing being the large clothing versus the small clothing in order to create the atmosphere of the trick, the deception the deception should work as well. Now, it comes out according to this, that when we're talking about this, of size-wise, this will mean, we said before, that the idea of adults and children was that the adults get the choice first. That means they said, the adults, you come in, you decide, do you want the steak or do you want the pizza? The reason why it says, limmi gadlavad katan, would be based on the choice of how it goes. Now, it happens to be that the Malbim says that because it says gadol to katan, it's the exact opposite. That it means everyone was going to be equal. A socialist society. What they were doing was, is they were inviting people in, and they were telling everyone, I want everyone to join. Now, you know how it works in the social society. Everyone's equal except who? The guy on top. It's always like that. So Achashverosh was saying, listen, I want to create a new world. Everyone's going to be happy with me. Achashverosh, we spoke about last year, was a little nervous if there's going to be a rebellion against him. He had to do certain things. So he decided that one of the best ways to do it is to have everyone on the same playing field. So the migodol ad katan didn't mean someone high stature, someone young stature. The reason it's written this way is because it's creating where everyone is the same. And that was a way to bribe people. You, like we know by elections. You bribe the poorest because there's more of them voting for you that way. Can't bribe the seven rich guys. What's that going to do for you? Seven votes. You bribe the poor people, you get much more votes. So part of the reason, now you have to just know how the Malbim gets to this. I wasn't clear myself. If it would have said mikatan to gadol, for some reason, he held that that wouldn't work. This socialist viewpoint doesn't work from cotton to gadol. It only works from gadol to cotton. But I don't know why he says that. But Malbim seems to say this. You have to, maybe I'm reading it wrong though. But anyway, back to Chazara, what we did here.
Could be that what he means to say migodol v'akotan, meaning to taking the godol to reach to the kotan.
But you can go two ways with that.
No, if you're saying the kotan to godol, that means I'm elevating the
right?
Kotan, but that's not what he wanted to do. You can't elevate a kotan to the godol.
Uh-huh.
You could put someone down his peg. It's very hard to bring somebody up.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You can't take the guy who doesn't have money and suddenly make him into a billionaire.
Right.
The guy who has money, I could turn him into a pauper.
Right. Sad to say. Okay, so we went on this pasuk. We're not finished with gadol katan. We'll do more next week, Mitzvah. But we have a gadol katan either meaning age, different interpretations of katanim at the party, either it means status, or now we're saying gadol katan meant Yaakov and Esav, and we see that in this week's parasha, Yaakov and Esav are called gadol katan, seemingly extra. Maybe it's not them being called gadol katan. Maybe it's their clothing being called gadol katan. Shkoyach.
Just say, because he's not going to go to the higher number. He's not going.